Well, good morning, church. Have you been blessed so far?
Yes.
All right. Well, happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
It is my privilege to introduce to you our speaker for this morning, Pastor Emmanuel Barr, and his wife, and I wrote it down so I don't mess it up, Olua Bukola. Did I get it right? All right. And his daughter, Angel, and son Michael. Now, they are originally from Nigeria. Is that correct? Yes. And so we're happy that they are able to join us this morning. Pastor Barr currently is serving as the pastor of the United African Church in Houston. Let's welcome him with a nice hearty amen. Pastor Barr.
Happy Sabbath, saints of God. It's good to be in this place. It's a beautiful day with God's beautiful people and a beautiful church building. What a privilege we have here. To God be the glory. I thank Pastor Im, my colleague, for extending this important invitation to me to share his pulpit today in sharing God's sacred message for his end time people. And I also thank the church leadership and the entire membership for accepting us as part of this family. So thank you very much, church family. And I want to thank my dear wife of almost 20 years now for being beside me always and supporting throughout this journey in ministry. Amen. And also our beloved children, my daughter Angel, who turned 12 yesterday, and my son Michael, who turned 9 on March the 3rd. So they are all March babies. We are all marching to Zion. Amen. Amen. We have a very important theme here, one family, one faith. One family, one faith. And I chose for us today to meditate on the scriptures from the Gospel according to John, chapter 17. And I will just plead your indulgence as you permit me to read John chapter 17, beginning from verse 1, because I want us to get the context of the message that God wants to relate to us today. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 17, and I will start from the very first verse. Because in this text, Jesus prays for himself. He prays for his disciples, and he prays for all believers. And this was towards the end of his ministry here on earth. So this prayer is very significant. And I believe that Jesus, even though he is in heaven right now, he still prays for me and you. Amen. So from verse 1, it says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, here in this text, Jesus is revealing the very reason why he came down to earth. He came down to this earth to reveal God to humanity. And this is eternal life,
that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory with which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition. And that is referring to Judas, the betrayer, that the scripture may be fulfilled. Verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now, from where we took our reading, from verse 20. Jesus says, I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Referring to me and you, believers of all ages, throughout the centuries, that they all may be what? Church, I'm not here, you're not following me. That they all may be what? One. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be what? One in what? In us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. What a beautiful prayer. What a beautiful prayer, church. Jesus prays for the oneness of all believers. Just as he and the Father and the Spirit are one. Jesus wants us to be one, one people, one family, one faith. We should be one in them. And that is why I titled or subtitled my message. I know the theme is one family, one faith, but I titled my message, The Power of One. The Power of One. Pray with me, church. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the revelation of
the unity that you have shown us through scriptures. I thank you for the prayer that you have prayed for us, that we all may be one family, sharing one faith, for there is power in the oneness of believers. So Lord, I pray as you further expound on this word through this earthen vessel, I ask God that you hide me behind the shadows of your cross, that not I, but you may be heard. Not I, but Christ may be seen. Not I, but Christ may be obeyed after we have finished here today. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I take authority against all principalities and powers, and I say they have no place in this sanctuary today. Let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The power of one. There is a very important statement that is captured in the Seventh-day Adventist Handbook of Theology, and it goes thus. It says the church of God, or the church, is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. From the beginning, it has been God's plan that through his church shall be reflected the world, his fullness, and his sufficiency. The members of the church, those whom he has called out of darkness into his marvelous light, are to show forth what? His glory. The church is a repository of the riches of the grace of Christ, and through the church will eventually be made manifest, even to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the final and the full display of God's love. Amen. See, God is love, right? And God has chosen a channel through which he's going to manifest his love to the world. The very essence of the coming of Christ to this earth is to reveal whom God is, that God is love. And the climax of that revelation was made and shown on the cross when Christ hung on that tree. It wasn't the pain of the punishment and the beating, the crown of thorns, or was it because Christ became anemic that led to his death? Christ died of a mental anguish. He died, he was slain by the sin of the world. And this was the highest demonstration of the love of God to a world that has fallen from grace to sin. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the best. He did not choose to send an angel. God chose to send his only begotten son to show, for there is no greater love than this, that one should lay down their life for another. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So this is the very reason why God has chosen an agency called the church, through which he can show his love to the world. However, the church cannot fulfill its mission in a state of disunity. Let me repeat that again. The church cannot fulfill its mission in a state of disunity. Oneness of purpose is required in order to fulfill our mission as a people who are called out of darkness into God's marvelous light to show forth his glory. We need oneness of purpose in order to pursue our mission and to carry the three angel messages to all the world in our generation. And therefore,
The prayer that Christ offered in John chapter 17 is very much relevant to our own time today. It speaks to the very need, the greatest need of the church today. The greatest need of the church is oneness. Without unity, it is impossible to accomplish anything. The concept of unity is further revealed in the nature of God. The concept of God as revealed in Scripture is the highest manifestation of oneness. The oneness of God is demonstrated in the unity of the triune God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct beings, equal, co-eternal, existing for one purpose. The oneness of God. And this oneness is further demonstrated in the harmony that existed in heaven. The Bible says heavenly beings, the heavenly angels, delight to do the will of God. There is perfect harmony in heaven. At least there was and there is till now. There was perfect harmony in heaven until Lucifer disrupted that harmony. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that war broke out in heaven. And there was war in heaven. You see, here on earth, we see all kinds of crises taking place. It's so messed up here on earth. And we all are yearning to go to heaven where it's all peaceful, where it's all blissful, where it's all beautiful, where it's all good. But then when we read the Bible, in Revelation 12, it says, and there was war in heaven. There was war between the dragon, the great dragon called this old serpent that who deceives the whole earth. Michael and his angels fought against this dragon. And this old dragon called the old serpent is referred to who? Lucifer. He disrupted the harmony that existed in heaven. The oneness that existed in heaven was disrupted by Lucifer. He cultivated and nurtured pride in his heart and became self-seeking and self-centered, as captured in Isaiah chapter 14. Unfortunately, the Bible says one-third of the heavenly angels sympathized with this rebellion. You see, whenever you become self-centered and self-seeking, you are led to depart from the very essence of God. You depart from the purpose of God, and you begin to seek that which satisfies you and fills your self-desired ego. This was a problem that Lucifer harbored in his heart. He cultivated this in his heart, and it led to the disruption of the unity and the harmony in heaven. So Lucifer did not stop in heaven. We are told that he was cast out of heaven, right? And then he brought this problem to earth. In the Garden of Eden, where there was harmony, unity between Adam and Eve, among the animal kingdom, the animal, the land, beast, the sea creatures, the birds of the air, everything was peaceful. The lion did not prey on the deer as a meal. Every beast, every animal lived in harmony with God's perfect purpose of creation. But when Lucifer came and deceived Eve, and she believed the lie instead of believing the truth of God, And also Adam sympathized with her and also believed the lie. They disobeyed God and departed from the purpose of God. And what do we see from that moment henceforth? There was confusion. There was fear. There was insecurity. The Bible said when God came calling, they ran and they hid themselves behind the shrubs. These were beings who delighted to be in the presence of their Creator. But because they departed from His own purpose, fear came in. They were scared of His presence. They felt empty. They became naked. The nakedness that the Bible speaks about is not only physical naked, but they felt the emptiness in their souls, because man can only feel satisfied and contented when man remains attached to God. Whenever you detach yourself from God, you are left empty, without a sense of purpose. Because only God, as long as we remain in Him, we can have purpose in life. So what do we see? We see confusion. In fact, if you read Genesis chapter 3, when God asks Adam, "Have you eaten of the tree of which I say you should not eat?" The first thing he does is to throw Eve under the bus. "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate." This was the beginning of crisis. Before this moment, there was harmony. There was unity. They all thought the same way. They all spoke the same thing. They all acted in the same way. But immediately, they departed from God's purpose. They began to speak in different ways. I can imagine they began to feel animosity towards each other. It is no surprise the disunity we see among couples today. It is no surprise the disunity we see among families today. The altercations, disagreements, incessant disagreements and quarrels, bickering, all because man departed from God's purpose. The chain of confusion just continued from Adam and Eve to their sons, Cain and Abel. Cain will kill his brother Abel, becoming the first murderer, bringing pain and further sorrow to their first peer, because they departed from God's ideal. Beloved, whenever you depart from God's purpose for your life, you are inviting confusion, you are inviting rebellion, you are inviting crisis, you are inviting pain, you are inviting sorrow into your life and into your family and into the lives of those within your circle of influence. This is what the Bible is revealing to us here in Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, Cain killed Abel. I cannot imagine how Adam and Eve felt that their son will kill his only sibling. It hurts terribly when someone else takes the life of your loved one, talk much more of your own blood taking the life of another blood of yours. The confusion, the pain, the sorrow just continued as we see the Bible unveiling to us, even amidst the plan of God's plan of salvation. We still see this manifest. Look at the experience of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. You know, God had told Abraham that I am going to give you a son, and this son will come from your wife, Sarah. the son of promise, the child of promise. This was God's own plan, God's own purpose, God's own design. As long as they stayed in God's own plan and purpose, they were going to be a happy family, in spite of the challenges that they face in the world. But when they allowed doubt to come in, and Eve suggested to Abraham, take Hagar, my handmaid. Perhaps we can fulfill God's purpose through the child that you will bear with Hagar. They departed from God's own purpose. And what do we see? Right there in Genesis chapter 16, Sarah herself began to complain to Abraham. It was a peaceful home. Everything was in harmony, was in order. But immediately she suggested to Abraham, and they departed from God's own ideal, crisis stepped into the family, complaining bitterly to Abraham. You see what Hagar is doing to me? And Abraham says, she is your maid. Do whatever it pleases you to her. And she treated Hagar harshly, the Bible says. She maltreated her. And Hagar had to flee away with her son Ishmael. And history makes us to understand that this was only going to breed a generation of a people who will constantly be in constant crisis. The sons of Ishmael against the sons of Isaac is still being played out today in the Middle East because they departed from God's purpose. They were in agreement, but they were in oneness against God's purpose. Look at the sons of Jacob with their brother Joseph. The nation of Israel itself. The confusion just continues. Whenever the Israelites departed from God's own ideal of oneness, oneness in the sense that they are together, they are unified in fulfilling God's own purpose and not theirs. But whenever they decide to do something else, even though they agreed, like when Moses was in the mountain and they came together and told Aaron, make us a god. As for this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. They were in unity. But unity to create an idol instead of to worship God. Confusion. And sacred history tells us that these people, from time to time, they wavered from one side to the other, departing from God's purpose. They were led into the Babylonian captivity. And right there in Babylon, when Daniel was praying, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 8, he said, O Lord, unto us belong confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Whenever we depart from God's purpose, we are inviting confusion into our midst. Anytime we depart from his purpose, we end up in confusion. And I would like to show you a classical example of what oneness can result to. At Babel, the Bible said all the people were one. They were one people. They united. They spoke the same language. They spoke the same thing. But out of this unity, something terrible came out, because their unity was not for the purpose of God. Come, let us build for ourselves a tower that will ascend into the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Not let us make a name for God. Not let us prophesy and proclaim the name of Yahweh. But they said, let us make a name for ourselves. As a result of this departure from God's own purpose, because the purpose of God for humanity is to reveal godliness, Not I, but Christ. Not I, but God must be seen and must be heard. But for these people, they were saying, not God, but us must be seen. Let us make a name for ourselves. And as a result, there was confusion. They were scattered all over. They could no longer understand the language of one another because their unity was not within God's purpose. But let us see what happened at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says that the disciples were assembled in one place and they were all in one accord. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one accord. There was oneness, unity, one people, one family, one faith. And the Holy Spirit came down upon them. The very promise of the Father. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive this power. There is power in oneness when that oneness is geared towards fulfilling the purpose of God. The only moment which we can receive the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit is when we are united in Christ. Do you wonder why we still pray, asking for the Holy Spirit, as if God is withholding the Holy Spirit from us? Do you think that God does not want to give us the Holy Spirit? Every now and then we are praying and say, God, give us the Holy Spirit, give us the latter rain, as if God is hoarding something from us. Jesus said, if your earthly parents knows how to give you good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father? Who among you will his child ask him for bread and he will give him a stone, or ask for fish and he will give him a serpent? None. So if we know how to give good gifts to our children here on earth, God wants to bestow the Holy Spirit upon his end time church. But for that to take place, we must be one family, one faith, speaking one word according to the dictates of the scriptures. All the disagreements that sometimes leads to bitterness and division among the church is further leading us to confusion and hindering us from fulfilling our mission as a people. Time will not permit me to go down history and begin to remind you of all the crises the church has been through and the current crises that are pulling the church apart. Is it the debate over women ordination? Is it about black and white churches pulling us apart? Confusion instead of unifying to accomplish this one most important mission. For this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world as a witness before the end will come. I am tired of this world, beloveds. I don't know about you. I really want Christ to come and come very soon. I am tired and sick of this world. If you watch what is happening around the world, it's painful. The United Nations, what you call United Nations organization, cannot provide solutions to the problems of this world. They cannot stop the war between Russia and Ukraine. They can only give weapons, those who want, to Ukraine to defend itself. Every day, people are killed, some without knowing the truth. People are dying of deadly diseases, cancer. Just we are still battling with COVID. Right now, I have a church member who is in the hospital, in the ICU, battling for his life. Just last night, he quoted 3 times. This is the pain and the agony that departure from God's ideal has brought to our earth. And one thing God is asking for us, of us as a church in this end time, is that we should have a unity of purpose in Christ Jesus. It is high time we put aside our differences. We should stop fighting over insignificant things. What color should we paint the church? We fight over that. What color should the pews and the carpet be? We fight over those things. Investing our energy in things that are of less importance. When it's time for election, we form cliques and groups, trying to draw disciples to ourselves instead of developing disciples for Christ. You see, God did not call us to build towers for ourselves and make a name for ourselves. God called us to make disciples, those who will be steadfast, those who will know that there is a fountain that is filled with blood, drawn from Prince Emmanuel's veins. We are seen as plunge beneath the flood and are washed clean. God is calling on each one of us today to put aside our differences and make our election sure by uniting with Him, with one another, in this one singular purpose. For the church has one faith, one foundation, and that is Christ Jesus. Before I take my seat, I'll invite my wife and children to sing a song. This song is in the vernacular, in one of the Nigerian languages, the Yoruba language, which is my wife's language. We speak different languages, actually. She speaks Yoruba, I speak a different thing. So come up, please. So she will tell you the meaning of this song in summary before they sing, so you may understand what this song means.
Praise the Lord. Like you said, we are going to be singing this morning in Yoruba language, and the song is just an encouragement. I don't think we have any Nigerian in the house. This song is just to encourage us that Christ is the one, the captain of the ship, and that there is no how the storm would rage so high and would defeat him, that we are sure to get to safe landing if we abide with him and stay within the ship. And he says that when we drink from the fountain that he gives to us, in this journey, we will not be weary, but we will get to our home, the Canaan's land, the heavenly home. Happy listening.
Why is so me?
todo Olorun wa o te gbogbo mo re Lorun o le eru aini lo tani yo se
Thank you very much. Before I take my seat, I just want to extend this appeal to all of us, including myself, because none of us is exempted from the temptations of the devil. Even amongst ministers of the gospel, sometimes there is disunity because of personal ambition and professional jealousy. Amongst families, there is disunity because of reasons that sin has brought into our lives. In churches, there is disunity. But this moment, I am calling upon us to make a determination that henceforth, we will keep our minds stayed on Christ and Christ alone as the captain of our salvation, as the one who is pilot this ship, call his church to safe landing. If that is your wish, why not bow your heads as we pray together? Father God, we thank you so much for showing us what it is like to be one in you. That you want us to be one because there is power in being one. When we all agree, you said in your word, for whatsoever we agree here on earth, as long as it aligns with your divine will, it shall be granted unto us. There is nothing that we cannot accomplish when we unite and unite with you. It is my prayer, Lord, that whatsoever things that divide us, we put them aside. Self will be put aside. Our personal ambitions is not worth the eternity that you are planning and preparing for each one of us. God, I pray that let it not be said that because of me, someone left this ship called the church. Let it not be said of any one of us here that because of us, someone
did not make it to heaven. Gracious Father, as you have prayed that we may be one, just as you and the Father are one, and you in us and us in you, may this prayer be accomplished amongst us, so that unitedly we can move forward with the power of the Holy Spirit, baptized with a renewed power from on high, to finish the work that Jesus has called us to do, that you may come and come quickly to put an end to all the crisis and all the pain, the sorrow that we go through on this earth. Bless us as we continue in fellowship this afternoon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Abar. Now, I recognize that I am keeping you from what your heart desires at this moment. The room next door, we have a fellowship ready for you guys with all kinds of food. 10 countries are represented. But before we do that, I'm going to keep it 30 seconds of your time. If you look around you, there are more than 10 ethnicities represented here. And I imagine that when we get to heaven, this is what heaven would look like. Just a mixed group of men, women, children, all kinds of different cultural backgrounds. But that is a product of the fact that Seventh-day Adventists, early on, we took the gospel commission seriously. When they said, go out into the world, we took it literally, and we went out into the world making disciples for Jesus. And today, if you look in the back of your program, we have churches in over 212 countries out of the 235 that the UN ultimately recognizes. We have 22 million members, over 95,000 churches. That's because we had a mission spirit. And as you are also called by God not to be a mission field, but God calls you to be a missionary. There's a saying that you can either be a missionary or you are a mission field. I pray that we will become missionaries. May the Lord use you to whatever end God calls you to be his disciple, to make other disciples, to serve him in the world. Let's have our benediction as well as our prayer, our blessing for the food. Amen.